Right now on VFN TV, a 7-year-old student in Texas from West Memorial Junior High School was told in her classroom by her teacher that God is a myth. We'll have her testimony today before the school board. In addition, was Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, right in his response about Hitler and the Arab leaders of the past, and including the Vine seminars, How to Be the Church, today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos, a 7-year-old girl in the state of Texas at West Memorial Junior High School was reportedly told by her teacher to put the word myth by who God is. And she, a 7-year-old daughter, after texting her mother, we'll have this text in a moment, 12-year-old daughter, she testified before the school board. She's barely taller than the podium, and she was talking boldly for God and what actually happened in the classroom. This is happening in classrooms all across America, and we need to take a stand just like Jordan Woolley did. Let's take a look at her. This is her testifying before the school board what actually happened.
Jordan Woolley. You have 5 minutes to speak to us. If you don't want to use that time, you don't, just as much as you want.
Today I was given an assignment in school that questioned my faith and told me that that God was not real. Our teacher had started off saying that the assignment had been giving problems all day, and we were asked to take a poll to say whether God is fact, opinion, or a myth. And she told anyone who said that a fact or opinion was wrong and that God is only a myth. And she started saying, telling kids that they were completely wrong, and that when kids would argue, she had told them that we would get in trouble. And whenever we asked why we were led to believe that he was true, if he is untrue, she told us to ask our pastors. When I tried to argue, she told me to prove it. And I tried to reference things such as the Bible and stories that I've read before from people that have died and went to heaven but have come back and told their stories. And she told me that both were just things that people were doing to get attention. And I know that it wasn't just me who was affected by it. My friend, she went home and she started crying. And she was actually supposed to come with me, but she didn't think she could. So my friend, she turned in her paper, and she had still put that God was a fact and to be true. And my teacher crossed the answer out several times, telling her that it was completely wrong. And one of my other friends, she got really upset, and she started arguing with the teacher, and the teacher got mad, And my friend, she wound up slamming everything off of her desk because she got really aggravated with the whole issue. And whenever my friend and I came home, we immediately told our parents about it, and we called the principal, and she said that she would handle it, but she said that the teacher had already gone home. And another child in my class had asked the teacher if we could, like, try to put what we believe in on the paper, and she said, you can if you want to get the problem wrong, which will fail. You'll fail the paper if you do. And I felt like this was really wrong, and I didn't feel like it was fair for my faith and my religion to have anything to do with what I'm learning about in school. And I had known before that I know that our schools aren't really supposed to teach us much about religion or question anything about religion. And when I tried to talk to my teacher about it, she told me that it doesn't have anything to do with religion, because the problem was just saying that there is no God.
Mr. Freddy.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for coming tonight. I'm truly sorry that you feel your faith was questioned. As you pointed out, the principal was made aware of this today, and we'll have a chance to work on that as per district policy and procedures. So thank you for coming tonight. We will definitely be looking into that. Very much appreciate it. Very brave of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, honey. Good job, honey.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Jordan. Oh, we have one little quick question.
Frank, I may have missed it. What grade were you in again?
I'm in seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Okay, thank you.
Ms. President, clarifying question.
Mr. DeBrow.
What school?
I'd rather we not have that at this point in time. You have a resolution process that we need to follow. And I think getting into these details right now would be violating your own process. It would be unfair to a lot of folks, and putting her on the spot is not a good thing. My recommendation.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. It was
very brave of you. Thank you.
What's interesting, it was very brave of this young seventh grade student to say that, but it wasn't brave of the superintendent to stand up and say what he just said. By the way, the name of her school is West Memorial Junior High in Texas. They told her, based on her story, and why would the girl make this up? Why would she even do all that? As a matter of fact, we're going to show you her text that goes back and forth to her mother that was shocked, and also a report of what the superintendent is saying to the public. We get back from the break. Make sure you join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, this 12-year-old 7th grade student in Texas. But, you know, it makes me think of Santa Rosa County in Florida, the Panhandle, Florida. It's a very conservative area in Florida. And pretty much if you go to Santa Rosa County, I think there is a church every five blocks, you know, that you could see. And there's even more church, more Christians. And they put a sign up just this week based on what the superintendent said that, you know, because we had the superintendent of another county in the Panhandle, Malcolm Thomas, for Scambia County school system. And he says, you know, that they say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, but they put up in the Santa Rosa schools saying that the sign that says it's optional. You do not have to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
What is happening? Think about that.
Can you imagine telling your kids, like, cleaning your room is totally optional.
Yeah, optional.
You know, if it's totally optional, if you don't want to go defend the country, it's just totally optional. Wow. If you don't want to eat your vegetables, it's just totally optional. You know, so
amazing.
So now you have, and I really believe the young people, and next week we're going to have part of our program. We're going to have some of our interns, you know, talking about their experiences in the internship program. And if you, I'm telling you,
Don't think you need to get to a certain point in your life before you can do something for God. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Now's the time to get involved. And we can find out more at VFNTV.com about the internship. But here she is standing boldly before these grown-ups,
mm-hmm.
telling them what her experience was in the classroom. And in that,
she's so brave, you know.
But they wouldn't even let her say the name of her own school. This is her own personal experience, and they couldn't even share it.
Scared.
We had the same situation, I know, with a child that she's talked about. The ants were created by God, and the teacher comes up and says,
"We don't talk about God here,
right? No, you don't talk about God. We got to talk about God." I mean, this is what we're coming to, and that's what the magazine decision by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was talking about. You know, when a nation turns its back on God, what do you do when they're mm-hmm. denying? You know, God exists. You got to do like this 12-year-old girl. We got to do like Jordan Woolley. Now, listen to this. This is a report that came in where the superintendent goes out and starts talking in a very nice way, John. In a very nice way, they say she was not telling the truth. Look at this text. Look at the text that her mother, she's texting her mother right here. You got to see this thing. I don't know if y'all can see it on the screen. But this text, look at this text. She says, in this particular text, can you put up on the screen that can see it there? It says, she's writing to her mother. She says, "Hey, Mom, so we had a reading requirement to say that God is just a myth, right? I thought that if a question was against our religion, that we could do whatever we thought was true or say whatever we thought was true as we're sitting there." And then her mother comes back and says, "Wait, what?
Question mark.
It says, and then she comes back, she says, "We had to deny that God is real. Yeah, we had to say that he was just a myth." I mean, think about this. Why would this 12-year-old girl, and you're going to see the paper right here in a moment, and it says very specifically on this paper that you get 20 points, which means if you don't do it, you don't get 20 points.
Mm.
You know, she was supposed to write myth by God. But that superintendent, she came and told them. He wouldn't even let her name the school. Of course, we told you what the name of the school is. But the fact is that he comes out and basically in a very nice way says this little girl ain't telling the truth. It's not telling the truth. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
"This was a mistake this time, I do believe. And I think we've all learned from this."
Katy Superintendent Alton Fraley says the investigation into this incident is concluded, and he did say the discussion about God did not belong in the classroom.
"And one of those statements, which I do not approve of, was, 'There is a God,' and then, 'Is that a fact, opinion, or common assertion?' Highly inappropriate, has not been used again, will not be used. In fact, it's literally in the trash can."
Jordan Woolley stood before the school board Monday night saying that to get the question right, the teacher expected them to answer God was a common assertion or myth, and that her faith told her God was a fact. Jordan says it was a graded assignment, and the discussion became argumentative and upsetting.
"And if I had any reason to believe, any evidence to support it, that a teacher did do what has been alleged, I will stand with Jordan as well. But based upon the facts of the principal's investigation, those assertions just are not true."
Fraley says he is not calling Jordan a liar, but Fox 26 has spoken to other parents who have said that Jordan's statements are accurate. Fraley himself says he has not talked to any of his parents.
"I haven't spoken to anybody. I know Mrs. Cobb has spoken to at least one other parent."
Ms. Cobb is the principal of the school, who claims the assignment was not meant for a grade, despite several parents telling Fox 26 it absolutely was.
"The assignment was not intended for a grade. It was not intended for a grade through the lesson planning or communicated to the students that the assignment was going to be taken for a grade."
"Why did the assignment say on it that it was worth 20 points? That section. Did you see it?"
"Yes."
"Why did it say 20 points?
I don't have that answer for you at this point."
"Exactly.
The assignment itself was not an assigned."
Is God factual or is he a myth? And you get 20 points. She says, "Why did it say 20 points? If it was just optional, why was it 20 points? You see it? Do you see it? Do you see it?" And it's like, you're seeing the paper. And, you know, if you remember what school's like, every point counts. Every grade
absolutely
counts. That's what parents discipline their children for, their grades not being up, right?
What a young and impressionable age. This is a 12-year-old girl who's in the seventh grade in the middle school. If you don't remember, that's a very tough age and period for a young person. And to be able to publicly take a bold stand like that, I commend that young lady. And I encourage other young students that are watching VFN TV. This is your generation. It's important that we even had the superintendent of school say that if a student boldly proclaims their faith for Jesus Christ, then they certainly can. That you have that
the constitutional right. They're
constitutional
not going
right to do that.
Yeah. And two, you know, of course, be truthful. You know, make sure you got your facts together, but do not, this is the point in time, you know, this is the test for everyone. Are you going to deny God?
Mm.
According to Decision Magazine, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, he talks about how to keep your faith while a nation denies the existence of God. And because the nation right now, it's being challenged, you know, and there's a lot of groundwork that didn't just get here like this. But this is time for you to say, I believe in God.
Yeah.
It's time for to find out in whom do you believe. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, who do they say I am? You know, who do the Democrats say I am? Who do the Republicans say I am? Who do the independents say I am? Who do the pastors say I am? I mean, he went through a list of a couple different folks. But then he said, Jesus said, who do you say I am? And that's very important. Eternity rests on your thoughts, who you think God is to you. And he said, truly, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. That is the revelation. Understanding who he is and who he is to you is the most important thing. So you can't, you know, just casually just say, hey, I'm going to deny God today, but tomorrow it's going to be, I mean, you can, but Peter did that, you know, and God rescued him, but
it's called mercy.
It was a huge rescue for him. If you go back and read it, he denied him three times. And that was a difficult thing when you see your leader being crucified. He did everything right, healed everybody, and he's being treated so unjustly by man. And he saw that. And now somebody says, are you related to? That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
The church is being persecuted across the world. You're seeing Christians raped, robbed, beheaded, taken into slavery. You're seeing leaders around the world conspire against the people of God and against God. And some of our own leaders are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, are we going to be like Peter at that beginning and deny that maid comes up and questions him about, you know, aren't you one of the Galileans? Didn't you know? No, I never knew Greg Lancaster. I didn't know who he was. I don't know who John Ramos is. I've never watched that program. XTN.
Something like that.
ESP. But Pat Hamilton. No. But the thing about it is that we're supposed to be confident in whom we believe is Jesus Christ. And this 12-year-old girl set an example for all of us. And you can go back. We'll make sure it's related to you, but you can watch the entire interview with Superintendent of Schools, Malcolm Thomas, of Escambia County School System. And he just nailed it. He's a Christian. He's a good school superintendent. He loves the 42,000 kids he's over. And he says very specifically in detail, what are your rights as a student? You're going to have to stand. And if you hadn't seen Woodlawn yet, the movie, you need to go see it so you can find out. It's people your age that stand up. When these adults give excuses because I might lose my job.
Yeah.
I might lose my boat. I might get thrown out. My friends won't love me no more. I won't be able to make my car payment. You go, you know, I don't have a house payment.
That's right.
Right? And just stand up. And these guys at Woodlawn changed the nation in the way.
But it's so important what you just said, because it's coming up. It's already here. You're going to have to pay a price to stand.
Yeah.
And this is happening at a middle school level. But
it's much higher price than money.
Let me tell you, it's happening in college campuses all around the country. And these students are by themselves in the classroom. They've paid thousands of dollars to attend there. And are you willing to be able to pick an argument? I mean, stand for what you believe in at the cost of even failing the course. I mean, these are all decisions you have to make.
You know, I was watching just recently an entire community, it looked like, packed into a room, and we were praying for and blessing a brand new chief of police, and every hand was raised, but there was one hand and one frown in the middle of that place. And I know that person is a confessing Christian. They're a Christian.
Yeah.
But what it's like, when you see God moving, we've got to move together.
Yes.
You shouldn't have been browing your brow. You need to be raising your hand up and blessed folks and praying for folks. And don't let the enemy divide you. If you have not read the book, The Torch and the Sword, it's a vision that's such a powerful vision. You know, you're going to need us, and we're going to need you, and the church is going to need each other, and we're going to regret everybody that we didn't support during those times.
Absolutely.
Because even the most flawed situation, at least they're holding the ground,
yes,
you know, for what is right. And it's very important to recognize that our Father sees us all as his children, and Jesus said, they'll know you when you're getting along. But it's getting along around him, around the Lord. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about, you know, taking a look at these Vine seminars. You've got to be able to sign up for these Vine seminars. There's a limited amount of space. There's only certain folks that have this passion to be able to go there. You go to vineseminar.org to be able to sign up. But we're going to talk about that afterwards. We're going to give you a peek and a look. What does it look like to be the church instead of just going to the church? It's beautiful. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student use Christian music for a talent show at their school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
A friend of my daughter's tried out for their middle school talent show audition using a Christian song, and she was told she could be in the show, but she would have to choose another song, and I was wondering if that was an infringement of her free speech.
Tracy, it sure is. She's allowed to utilize in a talent show, in a presentation, a song that has religious content, a religious message, or a Christian song. In fact, there's Department of Education guidelines specifically on that point. Christian music is not banned when it's a student selection. They're allowed to make the selection. They could choose to include a Christian song as part of it. So again, as we just did previous call, we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get some help there. Again, if there's a talent show, the students are allowed to select the material. They cannot be banned simply because the material is religious in content or Christian in its orientation.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
We have a great way for you, our VFN radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. There is an article. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie God's Not Dead, it would line up exactly what,
yes,
this, you know, what she's doing.
Absolutely.
And the teacher's doing. We'll make sure that's available to you on the VFN Torch. Look at this article from The Guardian magazine. You can see it here on your screen. That it's 1336 there. Put that up. They're saying specifically in this article, John, it's saying England's churches can't survive, but religion,
English churches can survive, but the religion will have to go.
Think about that. That's
is that prophetic?
that's so exciting because religion's what put Jesus on the cross.
That's right.
Religion's what's been beating the stew out of prophets that have been prophesying that you'll find on our next program that people aren't listening to.
Can you explain that a little bit? Tell us a little bit about religion because I think a lot of people get confused. They say, what?
Me? Yeah. I think you'd be better at talking
about it. Well, hey, maybe I should. You know? But the thing about religion is that it's a form of godliness. But no God. And so a lot of people get caught up in religious
do's,
activities,
dues, rules,
and, yeah. all these things.
Organizations.
But God's not present.
Programs.
No relationship with God.
Right.
And so that's paramount. So we're talking about religion. We're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about a form that tries to mimic Christian lifestyle without Christ.
This is so important because, you know, it's, if I mean, the things that the Lord has made known to us
yeah.
is, I mean, one is... This is not in every case, but there is, I think it was Finney that said, maybe Finney, you can correct me, whoever it is.
Charles Finney.
But whoever, you know, whatever's wrong with a society, whatever's wrong with the government, whatever's wrong, he said it's the pulpit. The pulpit's always the issue. And why? Because God chose from the foolishness of what is preached. If you ever feel foolish after preaching a message, God chose, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Don't question yourself too much. Just get past Monday and you're back on your road. Just like, and so what I saw, John, in this vision the Lord showed me, it was a night vision that it was this mega, and it's not every mega. Every, you know, anytime Christians are gathered together, it's beautiful when they're gathered together for Christ.
Right,
you know?
Around Christ, for
but this
Christ.
This was a modern, you know, mega-type church expression, which means it probably had about, you know, 800 to 1,000 folks, maybe more than that. And this minister was ministering from this pulpit. And as he ministered, you know, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So mm-hmm. talking about spiritual things, not about people. But as he spoke from that podium, I could see dark images shoot out and they go into the crowd and the crowd would respond and it would come right back to the podium. And they were just shooting out and coming in like this, like, you know, dark things. As a kid, you would see things like that and you go, oh, my goodness, or whatever, you know.
Right.
But this was coming out of the podium. And doctrines of demons is what the Word of God says. He says, you know, Paul writes to Timothy right before his head's being cut off. So he's dedicated to Second Timothy writing this letter. He said, this is how it's going to be in the last days. People will gather people around them that tell them what they want to hear.
And
doctrines, yeah, doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons basically means not what God is saying, but what the dark demonic realm is saying and people that are given over to it. And so, you know, how do you remedy this? Well, one is just like this article in The Guardian, you know, that says that the church is okay, but religion's going to have to go. And it's so much easier to be the church when religion's gone.
Yes.
No, religious folks don't like that because that's how they get their value. That's how, yeah. I mean, I think about George Barna's book when his book was, I forget the name of his book, but he says, talking to his friend in this book, it's a book full of stats. It may have been Jesus Left the Building. I don't know what the name
no,
of it was.
No. The Revolution.
Are you tired of going? Revolution. That's what it was. And he talked to his friend. His friend was over a traditional type church. You know, maybe, I don't know how many people it was. And he said, if you started preaching the kingdom of God, George Barna is asking his friend that. His friend says, if you started preaching the kingdom of God, what would happen? And he pauses and he says, I'd probably lose a lot of my members because they would go out and do what it's so he's saying. They would go out and become what we're supposed to become. And he said, what does this mean with your peers? And he said, my fellow ministers, peers, he said, they would think less of me.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, it's not really about me. Why would they think less? Because this it's been around for years. My building's bigger than your building. I'm running more in my Sunday school. My house is bigger than your house. My truck's bigger than your truck. I mean, all these different things that Pat says. And I mean, they're always comparing, you know, the carnal fleshly nature. You know, if Jesus measured things by sizes and he had 12 and one of those was a betrayer, right? And so it's about faithfulness. We're one church, no matter where we're at in Christ Jesus. And so I want you to see, what is it you think? We got Vine Seminar coming up, and these Vine Seminars, it's very limited seating. So The date's going to be determined. We've got specific seats we're going to fill, but we want to be able to begin to explore with you, with those that feel that call. Says, I'm ready to be the church. I'm ready to do what George Barna was revealing in his book, Revolution, just to be the church. And listen, you have to answer to God only. You really do. That's the most important answer that we have to answer, is to him. It's our loyalties to him. And guess what? When you find other people that are loyal to him, they'll be your friend.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to have, friends who have an allegiance to Jesus. And a byproduct of that is that you guys have a great relationship. Some people, John, have a allegiance to man, and they kind of put optional an allegiance to God. I remember calling a particular homeless type ministry and talking to this particular person over it. And the simple question I asked was, because I noticed that they were pandering with a few things and people were trying to change who they were in regards to ministry. It's a simple thing. You know, who is your allegiance to? And they were offended. It's like, if you're a Christian and it's a Christian ministry, the answer is Jesus.
Bing, 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 bing,
that's
bing,
the
bing,
answer,
bing,
right? Bing. I mean, but it was yeah. The person was offended. And I thought, oh, wow. And that's struggling with the approval of man versus the approval of God. I want you to just take a look right here. I'm going to just kind of give you a little review. What does it look like? Because the big thing is we're so used to programs and projectors and we don't worship, can't worship God unless we're looking at the back of somebody's head. And if you know at this eating together, as a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this. And if you want to be one of the ones that attends the Vine Seminar, you need to go to vineseminars.org or vfntv.com to events and sign up. Space is limited. The date will be determined based on the certain registrants, the number of registrants that they get in there. And it'll be life changing for you. If you've been trying to figure out what does it mean to be the church, because I believe the greatest harvest is coming. I believe that the traditional way of doing church isn't working, but it's okay. We can go back to God's original tent. He's over his church. We follow his spirit. There is order to it, but I'm telling you, it's a blessed thing because God calls us family. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
It is so neat and so natural to see the church just happen. As a matter of fact, you're going to see as I'm talking right here, it's just real simple. You know, what we did, we made our commitment when God called us out to be able to step out and be the church. And my wife and my children, we came together. We picked a very specific day, a very specific time in that day, and where we're going to meet. And we were going to just gather together for as long as it took. If it took 5 years, we were going to wait on God to do what he wanted to do. And what we found out is, instantly, God was more into building his kingdom than the church was. We found out that he was moving so quickly, we had to realize that we had to grow in wisdom and grow quickly. Because as soon as we started meeting, we picked a particular time on Sundays at that time. And neighbors that we haven't even met before came over on a Sunday and started knocking on our doors a couple streets over and started asking us about our pool. We had other neighbors begin to come over and seek wisdom. And my goodness, overnight when we said, Lord, here we are, we'll be your church. Here we are. We'll just open this whole thing to you. You have our home. Do what you want to with it. It was happening so quick. I realized when God told me that it would take 3 years to teach me what the pattern was that he would use for the next 30, I realized I had a lot of changing to do inside of me. And I'm about to share with you the wisdom that he taught me. And this is what it looks like. It's very simple. You know, it's all about relationship. It's all about touching and caring and listening and eating together and caring about each other. You know, for God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his son. And he didn't say, I gave you a whole bunch of rules and regulations. It's about relationship. And so what you see is this is a typical day, our typical church meeting. Then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you're church leaders, you and your wife, or just you by yourself, you and your husband, and y'all are getting together, get kind of cleaned up a little bit and prepared. But all of a sudden, cars will just start pulling up. People that the Lord has already drawn to your number, or people that had led to come, believers that have been led to come to your church, and they're coming and they're bringing food. Everybody's going to prepare a little something. I mean, even if you have to pick it up at the store, because it's so precious when everybody cooks a little something, a little food, a little dessert or something. It's not about eating a whole bunch of food, but it's about us sitting down together and eating together. Eating is so spiritual that the Lord said, be careful who you do it with. That's how awesome it is. And we come together, and there's a big food spread, of all the different kinds of food that people bring that day. And, you know, eating people's food is really getting to know them. It's amazing, the diversity and things that people like. The kids may sit in an area and have fellowship, and we're all eating and talking and having just a great time and reconnecting after a busy week. And kind of, it's focusing on the Lord. You know, we're keeping Jesus in the center of it, and we're also being real. And we just kind of gather around, and we open up in prayer. Somebody may feel led to open up in prayer. And after opening up in prayer, we begin to talk about not only praising for us what God did to you, we're really encouraging all the time what God has done through you, because we're called to be fruitful. And so we have a time of sharing and doing those different things. And it's exciting for everybody to see just in the last 7 days what God did to so many of us there. And the children, the dreams people have, they get to share. It's just really cool. And then we have a time of announcements. We turn on our television, and there they are. You'll see me giving announcements about what's happening in all of the Vine Fellowship Network out there. On VFN TV, you just push the button, announcements, and all of a sudden, whatever's happening that week and whatever God's doing within VFN and the nation, you'll hear it. And also, there'll be a time of prayer. And just kind of letting God lead us in prayer. And we go right into worship. And this is the way worship is done. It can be in several different ways. There's several different options. Maybe you have a ability to play an instrument. But if you don't, on VFN TV, we have another button right under that. It's four buttons, actually, that we're talking about here that you push. And you click on worship. Instantly, a PowerPoint comes up. Music begins to play. You just hook that up to your sound system. And it's just an awesome, awesome time of worship. The words are up. You don't have to worry about making copies of anything or passing out paperwork or passing out hymn books. It's all right there for you. And after that, going right into a time of teaching. And what we do there is that we all get ready. We get our Bibles after bringing the kids together first, because the kids have been in worship with us. You know, they've been having an awesome time together. But ages 9 and below, we have one of the adults in the church that will kind of go off to a separate place with them and begin to teach them at their level what God is saying, some of the Larry Crider material, whatever God's laying on our heart for our children. But before we do that, we bring them together. We ask them a couple questions about last week so we can see that they're retaining the Word of God in their hearts, and then we reward them for that. And then we just lay hands on them, and we bless them. We pray for our children's health and protection. And it's so important that God hears your prayers. And you want to pray for your children as a group of believers, as a church, and bless them. And God will protect them, and you'll see things just change in their life. So make sure you do this. And, of course, then our children go off to a time with the adult teacher that night and have a great time and a lot of different fun things they do. But they also learn the Word of God. But during that time, the church, the adults, and I guess 10 and above are together there, and we love to have our teenagers right in there with us, because this is a time they need the Word as much as anybody else needs the Word. And so we're in there, we get everything set up, and all of a sudden we push the teaching, and you'll see a Word of God come over, a teaching from me, an apostolic teaching coming over the church network out there. And you hear that, and we just believe in God that God gives us a fresh Word, a Word that's going to minister to our hearts. And we listen intently to that Word. And we may take a few notes. We have questions. And then after the teaching is done, there's the fourth button. It's called the discussion questions. And what that is when we seal the deal. That's when we all sit around and you push the discussion button. And what happens is on your TV screen or on your computer or ever how you're doing it, you're going to see several questions come up about the teaching that we just had. And in that, this is a perfect time for the home church to begin to relate and communicate. You don't want to stay so rigid with these questions that you don't allow relationship. This is a time for the spiritual gifts to really move and flow, and you know, and maybe a prophetic word. Somebody feels a compassion to be able to lay hands and minister to somebody. You know, the first question kind of leads you to another question that wasn't one of the questions. But this is when you're kind of allowing the Holy Spirit just to do whatever He wants to do after the Word of God's gone forth. You think about it. You prayed. You blessed each other. You've ate together. You worshiped, and now you heard the Word of God, and now it's time for just everybody's faith has increased, the kingdom has just been loosed in a powerful way in the environment there, and you allow God just to do what He's going to do. But you answer these questions. These questions will kind of seal the deal. So you want to kind of stay focused in some way that you progressively move through them, and it kind of secures. When we talk about what we just learned, it's a way to seal in our heart what we've learned there, and it's just an awesome way to see if we actually got it. And everybody kind of leaves with it. That's how it works. It's pretty simple. We come together at that point after we finish our discussion, and we hold hands, or we kind of gather around, and we begin to just pray. And everybody who feels comfortable to pray, prays. We don't have somebody pray for a long period of time. We have people that may pray for just a part of a prayer, and they stop praying, and the other person begins to pray. Because there's always those people who can just pray forever. And they kind of drowned out the faith and the hope of somebody else that may pray for a couple minutes. It's more important that all of us get a chance to pray. And you'll be surprised, for there's one God and one Spirit, and maybe somebody, your brother or sister right next to you, will begin to pick up and pray that prayer. It's important that we all participate. That's what's so awesome about VFN, is the fact that they were all involved, whether we're a teenage child, or whether we're a young child, or whether we're a mother or a father or a lady or a man. We all participate, and God can use us all, for we're all ministers right there. And after that, although it's kind of officially over, you'll notice that people will just straggle, and some people will begin to hang and talk with their friends, and some other people will begin to discuss what's going on. And you don't want to just end it like everybody leave. You know, it's about, you know, just, it's all about relationship. And so realize that when you end, it won't necessarily end, and let it just gradually progress. There may be people that need to stay around and talk to you as a church leader after everybody's gone. And don't push it. Allow God just to move in your midst, and you're going to find out it's the most exciting thing you ever did. It's what you're called to do. You're called to be the church. How can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. And what we do is we rotate every single week one of the individuals or members of that particular church will take on the cleanup role. And they'll go around and they'll vacuum the floors, and they'll wipe down the tables, and they'll put the house back in the same order it was when church started. It's very important that the church leaders are not having to carry that burden of cleaning their property in addition to hosting the church that's there. So get ready to participate. It's a great time to check humility in your life, to see if you really are understanding what it's about. It's about serving each other. And of course, it's totally over at that point. And what happens is that even though the church is, it leaves because of what VineFellowshipNetwork.org is all about, that you can go online. If you have one of your members that was traveling and they couldn't be there for church that night, they can pull up right there on the internet, and or even sometimes on their phone, and watch right there the very same teaching. For example, in our last church meeting, we had some of our friends, our members of our church that was in Destin, and they were able to, even though they were on vacation, they were able to pull up in their computer and watch church and have church service. They didn't miss the word going forth. And they texted us and emailed us and said they were really blessed by it and really touched by it. And they made changes in their life based off the word that they heard. And it's just awesome how things are happening with Vine Fellowship Network. We got to tell you, this is strictly from the Lord. He gave us this pattern. He told us He wanted to use it for the next 30 years. And we're just excited about it, and we're glad you are a part of it. I hope that helps you out. You know, if you have more questions, just contact us right there online. You can contact us by clicking contact, filling out the information, and asking your questions right there. God bless.
That is so, the Vine wow. Seminar, you think about that, you know, it's such so simple to be the church.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand how to do it. It took us a while to figure out, you know, what does that mean, mm-hmm. and how to keep the order that God would have. And imagine this. Imagine over 5,000 churches.
Yeah.
I think about this. You know, there used to be a day years ago they had, you know, long distance was a big thing. And you had a company, a concept that said, you know, if we'll build relationships with a few customers and just love them, meet their needs, that we can compete with the top six long distance companies in the nation. They thought, mm-hmm. they thought they were crazy. They became like the third largest long distance company.
Wow.
You know why? They said, all you got to do is find somebody who cares about the customer and just a small amount of people, and mm-hmm. they'll take care of those few customers, and you'll do that over and over and over again. And you'll have a huge organization, a huge, significant mark in the market, place in the market. You know, Jesus said the world understands things better than the church.
Mm.
We just keep trying to build things and do things. And buildings are not wrong. I mean, wherever the church is, wherever the people meet, that's important, whatever sure. it's in. But where we're going as a society, you know, the persecution that has come and that is coming, we got to get to the basis. We can't play church anymore. We got to really care for each other. We have to really love each other. And you can say you love each other, but until you get really close and you hang out, you find out what rough edges you have.
Mm-hmm.
You start realizing what's really important. You start looking at the Word of God. The Word of God makes such good sense when we start meeting like the Lord said meet.
Absolutely. Discussing, interacting.
Everything applies.
For each other's needs.
Everything applies, yeah. You know. And so if this is something that's been stirred in your heart, you know, we have so much more that we're going to make available to those who sign up for the Vine Seminar. It's a concentrated amount of time, just one weekend, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where we actually just impart what we've learned to you, because maybe God's calling you to that. And of course, this is kind of our expression and what our stream is doing. And you can learn, maybe God's called you to start your own stream, or you're in a stream, or maybe God's calling you to relate to VFN. I don't know. But I know this, that this is something the Lord's really laid on my heart and laid on our heart. And you need to know how to be the church. We know how to go to it. Hurry, get up. It's time to go. You need to get your clothes on. It's time to go. You know, it's time to go. Got to go to church. Got to go. Come on. It's time to go. The preacher's talking. It's time to go. He needs to shut up. People start telling him to shut up because they want to go back and leave again. And how can you go to what you really are? All you can do is truly be. And for years, when I ministered, you know, I founded a church, a traditional church, and I worked with Brother John Kilpatrick, mm-hmm. with the church, working with him. And I introduced people that sat together for years, John, who were right next to each other, and they didn't even know each other.
Wow.
They really didn't care about each other. And it wasn't until I started getting them together and spending time together and they're eating together, and that became, you know, very meaningful. And now imagine this is what you do for the rest of your life.
Mm.
You have a few believers who you're hanging around, you're living your life with, you're loving their kids, they're loving yours, and you're going through ups and downs, things happen, but you're doing it together. Then you just encourage others to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll find out is, you know, one church gathering produces another one, produces another one, produces another. It's like a vine. Compared us to a vine, not a flower pot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be really surprised. What we started seeing when we started gathering in that format was miracles, the fullness of what God says, dreams, visions, fear of God. I mean, there was one particular meeting where, you know, somebody came in to do harm to one of the members. God knew what was on their heart. We didn't know what was on their heart. We just loved on them and just did these different things. But the presence of God became so strong that they began to gag. They began to couldn't stand in the presence, and they ran out of our gathering. They ran out of our gathering.
Mm.
And what it was, it happened quite a bit. And, of course, you know, we're aware that, you know, could have dealt with that particular thing. But that's just the presence of God. He loves his church, and he takes care of his church. The thing is, are you ready? Just like the guardian said, he said, the church is okay. Basically, the church is okay.
Church is good.
But religion has to go. Religion is all those things you do that thinks that does something for some of your access to God, or you have to do this or have to do that. And you'll be surprised